it's hard to interrupt that kind of cheerful music, yes, you know?
Swaying back and
walking
forth
in a winter wonderland. Speaking of winter, we still need the water.
Yes, we do sometimes. Yes.
Even with the moisture and the snow and everything, it's yeah. time to water.
Yeah, I've from been time up to time. Here 12, 13 years now, and as you know, we're kind of in an off and on drought. And, you know, a lot of times people think, oh, we get a couple inches of snow. That's not a whole lot of moisture load in that 2 to 4 inches of snow. You know, we get a foot of snow, 18 inches of snow. There's a lot of moisture in that, and it soaks into the ground well. But, yeah, definitely, yeah, folks up here in the mountains, they really need to kind of be aware of really how much moisture we're getting, and they need to, because we turn our waters off, our irrigation systems off, so they don't freeze here, you know. So a lot of times people think they turned it off and they need it, they can forget about all their plantings and stuff. And the reality is, if it's kind of a dry winter, you really need to do some supplemental watering. And that's even really important on the big spruce trees. You know, maybe they've been in the ground 10, 15 years. They still need some supplemental winter watering, you know, if a hose out there or something, maybe once a month at least, a good soaking to get if it's been a dry winter. And especially new plantings, very important. If you got to put in a new landscape, et cetera, make sure you're doing some supplemental watering, unless I say we're getting a lot of moisture.
And a little bit farther east on the rim, when you get into the ponderosas, they had that ponderosa bug that got into them because of the drought. Did y'all see much of that on this side, or was that more the Payson towards Heber and
No, the first Shilla. Year I moved here in 2001, is ironic. I looked up toward Mingus Mountain. It was in the summer, and I thought I was seeing fall color. That's how much brown there was from the pinyons and some of the pines with the beetle. So, but it was just like for a couple years, not much problem now with it, but you still see a lot of gray skeletons out there from...
And they got in and infested the trees because the trees weren't getting enough water to produce enough sap to, you know, leach the bugs out.
Yeah, they were stressed. They're too close together, you know, our forest issues and all that. So, yeah, they were just stressed. But, yeah, but down at the home level, the garden, you know, the homeowner, they need to be very aware that if it's a dry winter, they really need to do some supplemental watering. And very important with new plantings especially.
And speaking of turning irrigations on and off, Mr. Harper, are we still safe to leave ours off after that 3 inches of rain? What was that, about 9-10 days ago now?
Absolutely. I haven't watered since. And, you know, there's so much moisture in the air and in the ground, that, especially for lawns. I think where we see it more than anything, there's so much moisture after that. And it's cool enough. You get dew every morning that, you know, your winter lawns probably don't need any water for another few days, maybe the middle of the next week, especially as cool as it's going to be through the middle of the week. As far as landscape shrubs and flower beds and things like that, you know, if you got 3 inches of rain like I did, you still don't need to water, depending on where you live and depending on what your planting is. But our low water, we've got so much low water use plant material that we've planted now, they can go 2 or 3 weeks even without rain in the wintertime. And this is the time of year we see where folks don't adjust their watering schedules for winter. This is when you can actually cut back and save a lot of water. It's hard to overwater in the summertime. Folks probably don't water enough in the summer, and they water way too much in the winter. And if you just wanted a rule of thumb, whatever you were watering in June or July, you could probably get by with about a fourth of that right now. So definitely turn it off for another few days, or at least into next week, I would think.
Well, let's see if we can help Scott as we wrap up the Garden Hour of Rosie on the House. Welcome to the program, sir. What can we help you with today?
I've got a pomegranate tree that I planted about 6 years ago, and it's finally producing maybe 20 to 30 pomegranates. Last year and this year, when I've gone to harvest them and I break them open, the seeds basically are going from white to brown, and I'm not getting any red, and also a lot of them I'm getting some black. It kind of looks like mold inside, and I'm just wondering what that problem might be.
Well, there could be a couple of things. Are they getting some cracks? It's pretty common for pomegranates to crack or split, and then you can get some of that black in.
Not
there.
Really. A couple no? of them, but okay. The ones that weren't cracked still had the problems inside.
Okay. The other thing that gets pomegranates, we have a little bug called a leaf-footed plant bug, and he has a very sharp snout. It could be a problem on pomegranates, pecans, some of the hard-shelled nuts and things. And they actually stick their snout through the skin of that fruit and suck the moisture out. And it leaves a black spot or a place where even mold can, if you get a rain at the wrong time, you get some moisture in that fruit. And so that can be a little bit of an issue. A lot of times the coloring on the pomegranate, just it takes the kind of weather we're finally having now to get a real dark red fruit inside. So you might want to leave them on there just a little longer to get that coloring. Usually it doesn't affect the flavor that much. They still taste about the same.
Uh-huh.
But you don't get that real red color to the inside till you get some cold.
Okay, what would we treat that insect? Is there anything we can treat it with?
There's a great product. It's very safe. It's an organic called Spinosad, S-P-I-N-O-S-A-D. And that would be what I would probably use. Usually if you go out there in the late summer or early fall, as the fruit is starting to what we call size up, it's kind of trying to make its final growth to its ultimate size, that's when you'll see, and they can be a wide range of sizes, crawling around all over the fruit.
Okay, real quick.
We appreciate the, you know, we will answer that, finish that off the air. Mr. Harper of Harper's Nursery and President of Arizona Nursery Association, thank you, along with Jim Roop of Monrovia Growers. It's Rosie on the House, Saturday morning. Stay tuned. Next hour, we're talking solar with Harmon Solar.
Download show archives and take Rosie on the go. Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly podcast located under the media tab at rosieonthehouse.com.